around the world. The Spirit is moving and a voice is being heard. Welcome to the Voice of Evangelism with David Langford. You can write to the Voice of Evangelism at P.O. Box 502, Kayser, North Carolina 28020. We'll give you that address again at the close of today's broadcast. But here now is David Langford.
Hello, friends. This is Pastor David Langford. It's a great joy to be with you today and to share with you once again the unsearchable riches of Christ, the profundities that we read about, that we study about, that we search in His most holy word. Amen. What an exciting time to be alive, to witness the things that we are witnessing as they're taking place. It's evident to the believer, the child of God, the morass of sin, the pus and the refuse of sin that has permeated and pervaded this nation. This nation is so vile, so wicked, and so corrupt. And of course, we've witnessed, I have as a child, the deterioration of our leadership to the degree this nation elected a foreign citizen Muslim and put him in the White House. Barry Soroto, a.k.a. Barack Hussein Obama. And yet people still are so ignorant, they say, he's not a Muslim. I'm amazed at the gravity of the blindness in this nation. I'm going to be speaking to the sinners today. I preach, for the most part, to Christians, followers of Christ. But this morning, I sense the Holy Spirit checking my heart, preach to the sinner. Now, you may be a professing Christian, but you're lukewarm, you're tepid, you're indifferent, you're backslidden, you are away from God. This message is for you as well. And you would do well to take heed according to the word of the Lord, because every man is going to give account of their lives to Christ. But I want to play a very beautiful song. The Bill Gaither Trio, Michael English, the lead singer, singing the lead part in this. I bowed on my knees and I cried, holy.
I dream of a city called glory, so bright and so fair. When I enter the gates, I cried, holy. The angel, he carried me from mansion to mansion. All the sights I saw, then I said, take me, Jesus. I talked with Mark. There was Timothy. Oh, but I said Timothy.
Yes, my friend, at the end of the day, you're going to want to cry, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. Amen. As I said at the beginning of the program today, I sensed the Holy Spirit of God check my heart this morning and admonished me to preach to the sinner. Luke chapter 16, beginning at verse 19. There was a certain rich man, which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died, and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. And he said, I pray thee, therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. I want to use for a subject today, will you believe? Will you believe? This is not a parable. This is about a certain rich man and about a certain beggar whose name was Lazarus. I oftentimes find it profusely amusing how many times people want to take when God says something literally in the Word of God, and they want to twist it and make it a parable. But it says nothing about it being a parable. It is clear in that there was a certain rich man, and there was a certain beggar named Lazarus. Why? Well, number one, there were certain men, or I should say many men, named Lazarus. Lazarus was a popular name. But Jesus Christ did not name this particular rich man, but he did say a certain rich man. You see, this story tells us about a heaven to gain and a hell to shun, and the time to believe is now. Regretfully, too many people are going to believe redemption. They're going to believe the gospel. They're going to believe the truth of God's word when it is utterly and absolutely and totally too late. You see, the time to believe is right now. Satan's greatest lie to all backsliders and to all sinners is, you'll have another day. You will have another opportunity. There will be another time when you can come to know Jesus. But in the process of that time, Satan seeks to kill, to steal, and to destroy and damn every soul that he possibly can. The time to believe is right now. Mark 1:15. The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. It is time to believe the gospel, and it is time for you to believe right now. Not tomorrow, not today. Or I should say after today, but you got to believe God right now. We're told in Hebrews 3:8, harden not your heart as in the provocation in the day of temptation in the wilderness. You're supposed to respond to the voice of the Holy Spirit of God when he speaks to you and deals with you about your sin. It is sin that separates men from God. It's not because the man was rich. It was not because Lazarus was poor. It was because Lazarus had a relationship with God, and when he died, the angels came and carried him into Abraham's bosom. It doesn't say anything about the angels carrying the rich man. When you read the great historian Flavius Josephus and his great dissertation regarding Hades, he speaks of angels who come together men and take them to hell, and how they fight those angels, not willingly wanting to go to hell, but they know the angels have come to take them. Friend, we live in a world today that is full of total chaos. Jesus said in Mark chapter 13, verse 8, for nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There shall be earthquakes in divers places, famines and troubles. These are the beginning of sorrows. It is time to believe the gospel of Christ right now. Quit putting it off. Proverbs 27, verse 1 says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. You don't know what tomorrow might bring forth. I could go out into eternity before I finish this radio program. You could go out into eternity before this program comes to a close. You could go to bed tonight and never see the sunrise tomorrow, and yet the devil will lie and tell you, you have another opportunity. Oh, there's plenty of time. Don't worry. Hell is full of people who are saying, Lord, give me one more chance. Give me one more altar call. Let me hear one more preacher preach a message on repentance and forgiveness and redemption. And I promise I will go to the altar and give my life to Jesus Christ. But it's too late. Hell is filled with people today who are pleading with God, one more opportunity, one more altar call, one more sermon. Galatians chapter 6, verse 7, Paul said, be not deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Let me tell you, Christians, let me tell you, do not give up on your convictions. Do not let people mock you and ridicule you and scoff you because you hold your convictions and you highly esteem the Word of God and you don't dabble in sin. You don't play in sin. You don't trifle with sin, but you remain pure in heart. Dare not let these infidels, these idiots, mock you, ridicule you, and make you think, make you feel, make you believe you're wasting your time in serving the Lord Jesus Christ. You're wasting your time in being a follower of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. And oh yes, they will mock you, they will ridicule you, they will castigate you, they will impinge your character. They'll say, you're an old fuddy-duddy. You don't have to live that way. You can live a different lifestyle. You can be more liberal. You can smoke. You can drink. You can curse. You can fornicate. God loves you. You're still going to heaven. Don't let the devil deceive you. Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's not one of us that was not born without sin in our loins. That's why we must be redeemed. Romans 6, chapter 23 says, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. The gift of God is eternal life. I want that eternal life. I'm 62 years of age. I don't want to lose now at this place, at this point, at this time in my walk with God. But I can assure you, there will be multitudes. There will be untold numbers of people who will lose their souls. Who will lose their soul. They will sell their soul for a shot of liquor tonight. They'll lose their soul for a run of cocaine. They'll lose their soul for an intravenous injection of heroin. Be quiet. Because they're selling their soul. You see, the time is now to believe. Oh, I know I'm so old-fashioned, I'm so out of date, I'm so out of style. You won't hear preachers today preach this passage and this scripture text that I'm reading from about people going to hell. No, they're not going to preach about going to hell because from their perspective, everybody goes to heaven. Nobody goes to hell. Even when James Brown died, they said, God the Father wanted to have a birthday party for his son, Jesus Christ, so he brought James Brown to heaven. Why then should I seek to live a godly life if the vile, the wicked, the abominable receive the same reward? Even the Pope in his idiocy, so idiotic, said, even atheists go to heaven. They don't believe in God, but they still get to go to heaven. They don't even believe there's a deity, a savior, a redeemer, a Lord. And they get the same reward I get for bearing my cross, for denying myself, for crucifying my flesh, for laying my hand to the gospel plow and never looking back. Luke 9:62 says, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. What kind of preaching is that? That's hard preaching. Jesus said, you're not fit for the kingdom of God. The rich man, he was not fit for the kingdom of God. Oh, yeah, in hell he wanted mercy. They don't care about mercy today. People don't care about mercy on this side of eternity, but let them go lost out into eternity without God and find themselves in the corridors, the halls, the pitfalls of hell. Then they want mercy. It's too late. I'm preaching to the sinner today. The Spirit of God spoke to my heart and said, preach to the sinners today. Preach to the backslider today. Preach to the tepid, the indifferent, the lukewarm. Tell them there's a heaven to gain. Tell them there's a hell to shun. Tell them I'm coming back. But that's not popular preaching. I will lose support if I preach like that, Lord. People won't listen to me if I preach like that. If I don't talk about their grandiose destiny. If I don't talk about them being blessed and having this and having that and if I preach about hell, they're not going to listen to me, Lord. Ezekiel 3:17, Son of Man, I have made thee therefore a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore, hear the words at my mouth and give them warning from me. I'm warning you today. You say to yourself, some of you, I can hear you right now, don't you talk to me like that, preacher. Don't you warn me. Don't you warn me about anything. I know what I'm doing. How many times as a pastor have I warned people? Just like my son's boss, Doug Moffat, I pastored the man. I knew the man. And when the company, he hired my son, but when he lost his job, I told my son, this will not end well. He said, what do you mean, Dad? I said, I know Doug. I've pastored Doug for 4 years. The man is either on or the man is off. He cannot straddle the fence. He has to be totally sold out one way or the other. And they concluded instead of a suicide, it was an overdose of painkillers and alcohol. And my heart, so broken when my son calls me and says, Dad, they found him dead in the bed Sunday morning. You say, Pastor, where did he go? From all that I know, from all that I possibly understand, from what I was told, he went out lost without God. Too much liquor, too many painkillers, and he died. He died. so many people listening to me today. You're so close to eternity. I cannot tell you how close you are to eternity. But some of you listening to me right now, you are on the precipice of eternity, and you do not know God the way you need to know God. Oh, I know some of you say, I'll just turn you off. I'm not going to listen to this. Turning me off does not change eternity. Resenting the message with conviction, with Holy Ghost conviction, does not change eternity. It doesn't change it. Eternity is forever. Oh, I know I had a guy to send me a book some time ago, said, yeah, you preach that old same stuff. God is a God of love. Once he burns the sin out of you, you get to go to heaven. I said, it's amazing how in Revelation chapter 20, the false prophet, the Antichrist, have been burning in the lake of fire for 1,000 years. 1,000 years. And they're still burning. You would think after 1,000 years, the lake of fire would have burned the sin out of them. But when God says you will spend eternity in hell and the lake of fire, when God says forever, God means forever. Sir, you cannot, you try, you corrupt, you twist the word of God because you don't want to believe the truth. 2 Thessalonians 2:11, and for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned, who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. They don't want to believe the truth. They don't want to hear the truth. There's a scripture that comes to my mind as I minister today. Regarding the psalmist David and his dear friend Jonathan. But in 1 Samuel chapter 20, verse 3 says, and David sware moreover and said, thy father certainly knoweth that I have found grace in thine eyes. And he saith, let not Jonathan know this, lest he be grieved. But truly as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, there is but a step between me and death. There is but a step between me and death. Being a pastor, I've preached scores of funerals. When I would have to get up the day to do the eulogy, when I would get out of bed, sick on my stomach. Why? Because of the fear. They went out into eternity lost without God, and I've got to eulogize. I've got to speak about that person's life. Then there are those who went out to meet God full of the Holy Ghost, washed in the blood, sealed by the Spirit of God. And I could preach with an anointing and people would shout and rejoice. I preached a brother's funeral one time. I had another pastor assisted me in the funeral. I preached my heart out. Because he was a redeemed man. I said he was a redeemed man. And when I got through preaching, I told the caretaker, the undertaker, they were back in the back of the church. I said, just hold on. I'm getting ready to make an altar call. I made an altar call. Six people came to the altar and knelt around the altar in that man's casket, and they repented and they gave their lives to God. And I'll never forget my fellow pastor, Bobby G. Ross, as we stood behind the hearse with the door open. And they were loading my member's body into the hearse. Bobby looked at me and he said, "David, if I ever saw a man that loved God and wanted to see souls saved, I saw him and I heard him today." I don't take no credit. I don't take no credit. I know who touched those men's hearts. That man's life. His name was Rex Meadows. 70-some years of age. That man's life brought those people to that sanctuary. But when I began to preach, and the Holy Ghost and the anointing of God fell upon me, the power of God touched those hearts. And the last thing that dead man did was help to bring souls to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, our Lord. And I said, "Oh God, when I die, when my time comes, I pray people will come and somehow, even in my demise, even in my death, somebody will say, 'I want to know the Savior that that man knew. I want to know the Jesus that that man knew. I want to know the Redeemer that that man knew. That's the Son of God. I want to know that man.'" And then there were those funerals where one man took his life. Teenagers killed in motorcycle accidents, car wrecks. One young man hit a telephone pole head-on with a motorcycle, broke his neck, killed him. You don't understand the gravity of eternity till you have to stand there and you look at all of the brokenness. You look at all the wounded. You look at all the hurt. And by all records and by all accounts, you know these people were lost. You'll never know the pressure. You'll never understand the pressure when you have to stand there. That's why I have such contempt for these wannabe preachers. You've never had to do that. You've never had to be under that kind of pressure. You've never had to stand there with people who are so totally emotionally drained, diswrought, broken, torn, tattered, ripped, I mean just eviscerated. And what do you say? Oh, when they're redeemed, it's a joyous time. I preached a fellow minister's funeral once. The church was full of ministers. And I remember there was a trio singing a gospel song. They sang that song. You could sense the Holy Ghost in that building. I jumped up. I said, "Come back and sing that song again." The power of God fell all over that place. Every preacher there told me, said, "I've never seen a man do what you did today in a funeral. Have them sing the song again and the power of God fall in the sanctuary like this." This is real to me. This is not some cynical, foolish, childish, clamorous game that men play. There's a hell out there.
And Isaiah 5:14 says, therefore hell hath enlarged herself and opened her mouth without measure. There is a place called hell out there. And every day somebody goes out into eternity and they go to hell. Because these hirelings won't preach with conviction and tell the truth. They're ashamed of the gospel. God put something in my spirit several weeks ago. I think I've already shared it, but I will share it again. Matthew 3:11. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But he who it is who cometh after me, who is preferred before me, John the Baptist is talking about how great he is. He that cometh after me is greater or mightier than I, whose shoes I'm not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. The Spirit of God spoke to my heart, and the Spirit of God said, most preachers today feel like they're too good to bear my shoes. John said, I'm not equivalent. I'm not worthy. I'm not enough to bear his sandals. I'm not enough to bear his shoes. Oh, what I would give to bear the sandals, the shoes of Jesus Christ. Humbly bear those leather sandals and say, these are the sandals of the King of Kings, of the Lord of Lords, the Redeemer, the Messiah, the Holy One of Israel. Yes. Yes. But the Lord said, most preachers today think they're too great, they're too grand, they're too glorious to bear my shoes if I afforded them that opportunity. Oh, to touch Jesus. Oh, to be his hand extended, reaching out to others that are lost. You see, the day will come for some who will seek God, and God will not be found. Jesus said in John 7:34, ye shall seek me and shall not find me, and where I am, thither ye cannot come. John 6:44, no man can come unto me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up in the last day. I'll raise him up the last day. The souls, the visions I've had of preachers trying to sling the blood off of their hands like water after you wash your hands, because they have sinner's blood on their hands, because they wouldn't preach the truth. And did the Lord ever vindicate me when I saw the doctors with blood running down their hands and their arms and dripping from their elbows, the abortionist? And then Fox News showed those video clips of those doctors sitting at restaurants eating, just like the Lord showed me. And that blood. And he said they sit there and they think they're without sin. They sit there and they think they're without sin. And he said, but I see the blood as they butter their bread and eat their salads and their steaks, and the blood is running and it's actually dripping off of their elbows. Oh, I know this kind of preaching is so out of date. You don't hear preachers preach on hell. My God, that's sordid. That's morbid. You're derelict. You're an idiot. You're a buffoon. Why? Encourage us. Encourage you? I'm throwing a lifeline to you, trying to save you from a devil's hell. Hell is a place of torment. The rich man said, I am tormented in this flame. I'm burning. Help me, help me, help me. There was no help. People. One of the great Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 1, when wisdom is speaking to everyone, Proverbs 1:25, ye have set at naught all my counsel, and would none of my reproof. You sit, you listen, you hear this message, and it either stirs you and convicts you and drives you to your knees, or you turn me off and you walk away and say, I don't want to hear that kind of preaching. Solomon went on to say after that, but ye have said it not all my counsel, and with none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind. When distress and anguish cometh upon you. Then shall they call upon me. But I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. For that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. Paul tells Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in kingdom, preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and they shall be turned unto fables. Solomon here in Proverbs 1:30, they would none of my counsel, they despised all my reproof. Some of you despise this kind of preaching. Take what I do seriously. Because what I do affects eternity. God forbid I'm not demeaning any man's trade, any woman's trade. You may be the finest electrician that's ever walked in shoe leather. You may be the finest mechanic that's ever grasped a wrench. And yes, your life is a testimony to the sinner. But I did not choose to be a preacher. I was called. I was ordained. I was elected, appointed of God to preach, and to preach without compromise. That's the theme, that's the motif of the voice of evangelism. We do not compromise the message of Christ. Well, don't you know people who hear you preach a sermon like this on hell, they're not going to listen to you anymore? That's not my responsibility. I'm just the delivery boy. I'm just supposed to preach the truth. I'm just supposed to tell people There's a heaven out there, and there's a hell out there. And you're going to spend eternity in one of the two places. You must be right with God. Prepare ye to meet God, saith the Lord. Oh, God, when I meet him, I want to fall humbly before him and hear him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. No wonder all the elders, the 24 elders, they cast their crowns at the feet of Jesus. They know it's Jesus who gave them eternal life. They could find it no other way except through the cross and the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Pastor Colonel Duncan called me, I believe it was last Wednesday. He said, I'm always burdened for you. I'm always burdened for you. I said, thank you. Thank you. Because the word of the Lord is a burdensome thing to bear. And you know, I don't compromise it. I don't water it down. I don't make it palatable so people can like me or like the message. I must preach the truth. John said, I must decrease. He must increase. I look at these mega ministries who have tens of thousands sitting in the auditoriums, and they never preach repentance. They never preach sanctification. They never preach justification. They never preach on the baptism of the Holy Ghost. They never preach the blood of the Lamb. They never preach stay in the presence of God and don't die and go to a devil's hell. No, they want to talk about your destiny. Signs of your destiny, clues to your destiny, doors to your destiny. Jesus preached about hell. That's how important it was. People say, preach Jesus. I'm preaching Jesus. Jesus told us this story. It's a real story. It's a certain man that was rich and a certain man named Lazarus. It's not a parable. Here this man was in hell. And hell was so vexing. Hell was so tormenting. He said, Father Abraham, now the man's full of compassion. He was so without compassion, he wouldn't even give Lazarus the crumbs that fell from his table. He just desired to be fed with the crumbs. But then, when he's in hell, he said, I'm tormented in this flame. Then he said, I've got five brothers. Let Lazarus go and testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. See, he knew his brothers were not right either. Do you hear me? He knew his brothers were lost. He knew they weren't living right. I know there are people listening. You're not living right. I don't want you to be lost. If you're breathing, there's time, there's opportunity for repentance. There's opportunity to say, God, I'm sorry for my sins. I'm sorry for my sins. That's all it takes. Can you believe that? That's all it takes is called repentance. I'm sorry for my sins. Lord, forgive me. Forgive me. of mine iniquities. Oh, wretched men that we are. And all the Lord says, if you'll just humble yourself and ask for forgiveness, I will forgive you. And I will not blot your name out of the book of life. And when your day and your step into eternity takes place, I'll be right by your side to give you aid, to give you comfort, to give you assistance. You will not cross Chilly Jordan alone, but you'll cross it with my presence. Father, I preached what I felt you laid on my heart today to the sinner, to the backslider, to the lukewarm, to the indifferent. Lord, let this message find a place of residence in hundreds, if not thousands, of lives. Don't let this message return void. Let it somehow be heard to ways and to people who may never, ever have an opportunity to hear a gospel message. But let them hear this message somehow, some way, Lord. Let it get out. Let it be shared. Let people that are lost hear this message and this conviction of the power of the Holy Ghost. Let them sense what I sense. Let them sense the burden and the heaviness that I sense, so that they might believe before it's too late. Because one day the door will close. Turn. You will turn from men that have rejected you and say, depart from me, you workers of iniquity, for I know you not. Holy Ghost, convict. Holy Ghost, drive this message deep into the hearts, into the souls, and even into the subconsciousness of men. Drive it deep with conviction that they might repent of their wickedness. Lord, touch this little message. Little as much when you're in it, Lord. Take the simplicity and the conviction of your word and the convicting power of the Holy Ghost and use it to affect thousands of souls. Give me souls. Give me souls. Give me souls, I pray thee, Lord Jesus. Give me souls. Oh, halav, shandala Messiah. Lord God, you're so real. Let the people know this is truth. This is power. And this is grace. And this is love. And this is redemption. Let this small sermon find a lodging place in the hearts and lives of so many people today. God, don't let this word slip like water running out of a vessel, but let it find a place of residence and bring forth fruit. And I pray that this fruit might remain in Jesus' name. Thank you for the anointing. Thank you for the conviction. Thank you for the power. Thank you for grace and the shedding of your blood for our sins. Bless us and keep us in the hollow of your hand. In Jesus' name we pray. Let me remind you, April 15th, 16th, and 17th of the meeting in Branson, Missouri. Go to Steve Quell's website or my website and look at Gen 6 Productions. And get the information there. We'd love to see you. I'm believing God for a freshet, a deluge, an outpouring of the Holy Ghost. I promise I'll do my part.
The Voice of Evangelism with David Langford is brought to you by the faithful listeners and supporters throughout America. If you're looking for an uncompromising message, we invite you to tune in each week to The Voice of Evangelism. For more information, write to The Voice of Evangelism at P.O. Box 502, Kayser, North Carolina, 28020. That's P.O. Box 502, Kayser, North Carolina, 28020.